because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Adrian Peterson is marching out of a Saints uniform after New Orleans traded him to Arizona for a 2018 sixth-round pick. Peterson told NFL Network Stacey Dales he is, quote, ecstatic about the trade. To make room for AP, the Cardinals released running back Chris Johnson. Elsewhere, Tom Brady did not practice Tuesday due to an AC sprain in his left shoulder. The Patriots QB is still expected to play Sunday. An MRI revealed Sam Bradford did not further injure his left knee Monday night, but he does have, quote, wear and tear in the joint from two previous surgeries. The Vikings don't know yet if the QB will be able to play this week, but Minnesota may get Teddy Bridgewater back soon. He's meeting with a doctor Monday in the hopes of getting cleared to officially practice for the first time since suffering his devastating knee injury in August of 2016. And the Texans agreed to terms with pass rusher Lamar Houston to help shore up their D-line following injuries to J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 2828. Froyofranchising.com, promo code 2828. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code.
5:05, welcome back in the Todd Bromelcamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, a Wednesday edition of the show. That means we'll answer your fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. He's going to be joining the program, courtesy of Imon Communications, tonight at 6:05. 6 o'clock showdown on the way as well. We've got some concert tickets for you as your prize tonight. Details on that yet to come. We bring on now our regular guest with us on Wednesdays. I wish we had better news to talk. Shame on Western Illinois, Gary Rima, for coming up to Cedar Falls and spoiling homecoming last week.
Man alive. But, you know, it didn't look good early in that game. It looked better at halftime. It didn't look good after three quarters of play. And then the Panthers get that lead late by 4, 29-25 with a minute 12 to go. And you're thinking, okay, well, we're gonna pull this homecoming game out and start the league 2-0, and then they convert on that big 4th-and-15 play to keep their drive going and score a touchdown with 6 seconds to play. I mean, it just, you know, it took me back. I remember the Saturday night that Iowa was playing Penn State, and I'm listening to that game, and when Penn State scored that touchdown on the final play of the game, it's just what that felt like for you and I on Saturday night, where you just thought, man, we're going to get this win, and they drive the field and with 6 seconds to go, throw the touchdown pass that gives them the lead for good. So heartbreaker, guys. We've had some tough losses in my time of covering you and I football, but that one really hurt, especially, Todd, because of what we know is coming ahead over the next 4 weeks with four top 8 ranked teams on the schedule right in a row.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up next on the schedule. The Panthers are 2-3 to this point. Do they need to get one of these next 3 games to have a realistic shot of getting an at-large playoff bid?
Yeah, and I think they got to win 2 of their next 4, to be honest. That when you got to get to 6 wins. If you don't get to 6 wins, you're not even in the discussion. So it's a situation where they have to win 2 of these 4. You're taking on 7th-ranked South Dakota State on the road this week. Then you come home to host 8th-ranked Youngstown State. Then you go to number 2-ranked North Dakota State. And then you host 4th or 5th-ranked South Dakota, depending on what poll you look at. That's your next 4 games. If you go 2-4, now you're 4-5, and you wrap up with Missouri State at Missouri State and home with Indiana State. You'd like to think you can handle those two teams. That gets you to 6-5, and you'd have two top 10 victories. That's your chance. That's the playoff opportunity right now for UNI football. You got to go one game at a time, but Alex, somehow they got to find a way to win two of these next four games, and much easier said than done, because they're all four teams are really, really good, and especially this South Dakota State team at their place. It's their homecoming game. They call it Hobo Days up there. I don't know, got a bunch of hobos or something, but they call it Hobo Days, but it's like their homecoming game. So it's going to be a rowdy, raucous a football stadium that the Panthers walk into on Saturday.
We were just talking about Hobo Days in Britt, Iowa on the program last week, and I can't even remember what the genesis was, but Gary Reima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us on the program today. You mentioned what a tall task it's going to be. South Dakota State absolutely destroyed Southern Illinois last week, 49-14. What type of team is UNI walking into face on Saturday?
I think one of the best offenses in the league, and they've got the great wide receiver in Jake Winicky. This kid's really good. He'll be a drafted wide receiver in the NFL draft, I think, come this next season. And they got a tight end that a lot of people thought he might leave school at the end of his junior year because he's projected to be a drafted tight end into the NFL, but he came back for a senior season, Dallas Goedert. It's probably as good a 1-2 tandem punch in the receiving game that anybody in the league has. And then their quarterback, Taron Christian, he's a heck of a talent, very good passer, but he's that dual threat guy. He's great with his legs. He's got three rushing touchdowns this year. Even with the sack yardage taken off his rushing yards, he's averaging 7.2 yards per carry. So just about the time you cover those good wide receivers, he takes off and runs and scrambles and makes a big offensive play for him. But with that said, they've got one of the best running backs in the league. So as good as their passing game is and their dual threat quarterback in Christian is, they got a running back that's a senior in Brady Mangiarelli. This kid's really good. The guy averages over 7 yards per carry, one of the best running backs in the league. And they beat up Southern Illinois big time last week, and they did it a lot on the ground with Mangiarelli running roughshod over the Saluki. So the Panthers got their hands full. You try and stop that running game, and then they come at you with the great passing attack. If you cover their receivers, they got a quarterback that can scramble and run and make plays with his feet. So this is, I think, outside of Iowa State being an FBS opponent, as far as our FCS opponents, this hands down is the toughest challenge for the UNI Panther defense this season.
Take me back to last year's game, because I know 45-24 was the final score, but if I remember right, it was a little bit closer than that, and then there was a lot of unanswered points scored in the fourth quarter. Am I recalling that correctly?
Yeah, I would say that, but I got to tell you, Todd, of our six losses last year, five of them were by one score, and I felt like we were in every game and just came up short. South Dakota State, they put a pretty good whooping on us. I mean, the game was close at half, but they really handled us. It was the one game that I left last year where I thought, you know what, we flat out got beat today by a better team, where I just didn't always feel that in those other five losses. Those were games I thought, man, we might have been the better team. We just didn't get it done, got beat by a field goal or got beat by a touchdown. South Dakota State laid it on us pretty good, so this is a tough one. They got a lot of those same characters back that put it on us pretty good last year on our home turf. So we got to try and go and return the favor. Now, if you look back to 2 years ago, a 10-7 game at their place, and I just think this is a game the Panthers would like to be more of that type of game this year than a 45-24 type high-scoring game like we got into a year ago.
The running game has been a topic for pretty much the whole season, Gary, and last week it struggled. At this point, is it just sort of safe to say that this offense is going to have to make their money throwing the football?
that's going to be the best part of the offense, I think, moving forward. But Alex, you still got to develop a running game. You still have to. The play action pass just is not as effective if you also can't get some yards by handing the football off. So I know, again, they went back to work this week. They had a good game a week ago at Southern Illinois running the football, but this past Saturday, Western Illinois really stymied the run. 30 running plays for only 35 yards. You know, when your running backs are only averaging about 2 yards a carry, that just isn't going to get it done. So I know they went back to work this week really stressing to get the running game back on track, find ways to move the football on the ground. We have to do that because that will help the passing game be just that much better. Is it going to get better in the running game? I don't know, but it's something that they have to try and improve on, or it's going to be a tough road to hoe over these next three or four games.
This looks like one of those seasons where we're going to be looking for bright spots. So let's talk about a local kid out of Springville, Elias Nissen, who's really come on this year. When are defenses going to try to figure out or be able to figure out how to slow him down?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's really been fun to see the emergence of that young man. You know, an eight-man player in high school at Springville and was a running back for them and comes in as an athlete at UNI, and Coach Farley said they are trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do with him? He's probably not going to be a running back at this level, but, you know, do we make him a tight end? Do we make him a linebacker? Coach Farley likes to try and make everybody a linebacker, by the way.
But, yes, he does.
but they you know, they figure out that, hey, this kid's got the size and put a little strength and weight on him. He could be a pretty good tight end. And he's really blossomed this year, guys. It's fun to watch him play. He's got 5 catches in the last 2 games, and he scored 4 touchdowns. Now, one of them was that fumble recovery, but that's just being, you know, heads up, right spot, right time. But, you know, he came into this junior season without a touchdown to his credit, and now he's got 4. So really been fun to see Elias emerge the way he has. Great kid. We had him on the post-game show as our Village Inn Panther Offensive Player of the Game, and a really well-spoken, outstanding young man. So hope he keeps it up. And you know what? In the passing game, when we get that tight end involved, it just helps Darice Fountain and everybody else, that, you know, Jalen James and company trying to catch pass. So when you got a tight end that can be effective, that just adds a whole nother weapon to what you're trying to get done offensively. Now get the ground game going again. You got your tight end involved. You got good wide receivers. You got a good passing quarterback in Eli Dunn. That can figure a way to knock off a top 10 ranked team if you get that offense going the way we think that it can.
Gary, we talk about the Missouri Valley Football Conference all the time as one of those conferences where it's a quote-unquote cluster, and this year is no different. Yeah. The three teams at the top in North Dakota State, South Dakota, and Illinois State, and then there's a cluster of teams, Western Illinois, Youngstown State, South Dakota State, UNI, SIU, before you get to Missouri State and Indiana State at the bottom. How do you handicap this race moving forward?
Well, first of all, there just isn't any doubt this is the best FCS football conference in the nation. I mean, if we were talking Big Ten football or Big 12 football and 4 of their teams were in the top 8 in the country, everybody would just be saying, wow, that's incredible. And that's what the Panthers are up against. I think the cream, in a way, is starting to rise to the top. I think North Dakota State is as good as billed. South Dakota is definitely the surprise of the league, with them being undefeated at this juncture of the season and knocking off some good teams. They're a team to be reckoned with, and you know, they just need a couple more wins, and they've done enough to already be a playoff team. Illinois State went on the road and lost a non-conference game to a Big Sky opponent, so the jury's still out a bit, I think, on how good is Illinois State this year. I think the South Dakota State team is a playoff team. They're just too good offensively to not win 7 or 8 games this year, and they're going to be in the mix. And then Bo Pelini and Youngstown State made it all the way to the championship game last year. They're strong. They come to the Uni Dome a week from this Saturday. But, you know, even as good as some of these teams look, you know, Western Illinois was driving on South Dakota a week ago Saturday to try and go in for a game-winning score and came up short. So that gives, I think, Panther Nation hope that we take on a team like South Dakota, that we can give them all they want. South Dakota State went out to Youngstown State and got held offensively to basically nothing. They only ran 37 offensive plays a couple of weeks ago when they lost out at Youngstown State. So I think as far as Panther fans look at it, yeah, the league's tougher than ever, and you got four teams in your league ranked in the top eight in the nation, and now you have to play those four right in a row. But we've seen this Panther team do some big things in previous years where they knocked off top-ranked teams, and I think there's still hope that this team has enough left that they can get it done.
We've talked about a lot of great players so far this year. Eli Dunn, Dorice Fountain, we mentioned Nissen today. Who's the next guy that we're going to be asking you about? Give me a breakout candidate this weekend.
Offensively, man, good question. Well, I tell you, I still think, and he had a decent game a couple of weeks ago, but we need Trevor Allen to break out and be the running back that we think he can. And you know what, guys, that 97-yard touchdown run by Trevor that was called back because we weren't lined up right. I mean, just if you added that to the stats, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, the rushing stats are pretty good, and we probably win that football game because of that touchdown. But I think Trevor's the guy that we got to have him run the football like we've seen him do in practice, like we saw him do in some of the fall camps. He's been a little bit nicked up and banged up in the early part of the season. He's healthy now. I just think he's a guy that he's better than averaging 2 yards per carry. I mean, he just is, and that's what he got last week against Western Illinois. Need a breakout game from him. He just has to do it. I think defensively, going to be really important for our two freshman safeties, Suni Lane and Corby Sander, to have a big game. And I look for them to have a breakout game this Saturday against a team that's very good in the running game but also excellent in the passing game. I think those two freshman safeties are the next guys that you're going to be talking about because they're hitters. They'll come up and put a pop on you. And they're guys that got to continue to step up their play to help this defensive unit out.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Suni. We were chatting about him last week after the MVFC honors. Hey, before we let you go, we were watching a video a couple days ago here in the office that was making the rounds on Twitter. A guy had a Court Kings jersey on. I'm not sure it was the Cedar Valley Court Kings, but he broke a backboard. That's not one of your guys doing any damage at the Cedar Valley Sportsplex, was it?
No. Okay. I wonder what I'd like to see that. I didn't see it.
Okay,
we'll send it to you, Gary.
We haven't been able to. I don't know. I probably got a couple guys that could break a backboard or two. We actually had our first open tryout of the new season this past Sunday. 22 guys showed up. Had a 7-footer that showed up, and I had to tell him a couple of times, "Hey, stop hanging on the rim. You're gonna break the backboard, big boy." So. Yeah, looking forward to 2018 and Court Kings basketball as we rebuild our roster and try and defend our back-to-back Midwest Basketball League championships that we've won.
All right. Always a pleasure, Gary. It's a highlight of my Wednesday, and I do mean that every week. Gary Ryan, a play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Thanks for the time, and have a safe trip to South Dakota State this weekend.
All right, guys. Highlight of my Wednesday also, by the way. So thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Plenty more to come today on the program. Hour number 3, we'll get started with Tristan Cockcroft, so get those fantasy football questions to us now on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. We've got hairball tickets as your prize on the 6 o'clock showdown and a whole lot more. Yesterday's poll question at KGYMradio.com had to do with the last time that you visited your doctor, and the results weren't exactly overwhelmingly positive. For many of you listening to the program, it's been a long time since somebody has looked under the hood, so to speak. Well, there's an opportunity for you to rectify that. Check out the website lowtusa.com. You can learn a little bit more about a new local men's health clinic that just opened up recently in North Liberty called Mantality. That's right, North Liberty, halfway between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. It couldn't be more convenient. And speaking of convenient, here's how it works. You go in, you get checked out, and then you go home. They give you a complete workup. They look for some things that maybe you need to have somebody look for. Let's put it that way. But once you go home, they ship all their treatments directly to you. No going to the pharmacy, no having to call in a prescription, anything like that. If you're worried about how much it costs, here's a question for you. Do you have insurance? If you do, Mentality is covered by insurance. Their physicians are all board certified. Everything's above board. And like I said, go in, get checked out. Very first time, they look for everything. They give you a complete checkup. And then from there on out, you get treated in the comfort of your own home. LowTUSA.com. 595 Ashley Court in North Liberty is the physical location. But learn more at LowTUSA.com. Before you go in, if you make an appointment, make sure you mention KGYM. It's 5:24. It is still 1-0 at Wrigley Field, and offense is at a premium today. Kyle's going to have an update for you when he joins us in the studio next, and plenty more to get to here on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. 5:25 coming your way on 1600 AM right now. That's the historic main gym. That's because the FM frequencies do have the Cubs and the Nationals. Back with more after this.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Welcome back in. 5:26 as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. We do have another baseball game for you. It'll come your way on all three of our frequencies. Unlike what's going on at Wrigley Field right now, this will be a do-or-die game 5 tonight for both teams. The Indians take on the Yankees. It's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Who advances to take on the Houston Astros in the American League Championship, New York or Cleveland? Check them out. First Avenue Southeast, right here in Cedar Rapids. Emil's Hideaway, the sponsor of the poll question right now. To give you an update on what's going on at Wrigley Field and everything else in the sports world, Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's going to start at free safety, and sophomore Amani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke encouragingly about Manny Ragumba's recovery from his injury. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that he's going to return after the bye week as initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Amani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was named to the National Team of the Week after recording 3 tackles, 2 breakups, and a pick six. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the 4th time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar position searching for a new team. Castle has 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his 5th. Today on KGYM, over on the FM frequencies, we've got the Cubs and Nationals going right now. The Nationals lead that one 1-0 in the 6th. following that game will bring in the deciding Game 5 of the AL Division Series between the Yankees and hosting Indians. It's going to be CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber on the hill. That game's beginning shortly after 7 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
CC Sabathia with the most career victories at Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, formerly Jacobs Field. Jake Westbrook, I think, was number 3 on that list, and Charles Nagy.
Bringing up the name Jake Westbrook.
Indians
low
great.
Blow.
Well, Jake Westbrook was involved in a trade that brought Cleveland starter Corey Kluber to the Indians.
Who was known at the time as a fringe prospect, and that's a quote.
Yes, and Jake Westbrook and Ryan Ludwig were the bigger names in that three-way deal between, was it St. Louis, San Diego, and Cleveland?
Yep.
And the fringe prospect, who was an A-ball at the time, Corey Kluber, has gone on to be the biggest name in that trade. It's funny how you can look back at things six and a half years later, and they look a little bit different than they did at the time. It's 529. Here's what we're going to do. We owe you a coach's cuts this week, and we don't hear from Kirk Ferentz during the bye week. So today, a special version of Coach's Cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions in Marion, the solution to your missing piece of your IT puzzle. Here now, select highlights from defensive coordinator Phil Parker and offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz as they met the media earlier today in Iowa City.
If you look at us moving into the second half of the season, from the offensive standpoint, I think the first thing we need to do is establish our run game with some consistency. And we're sitting at 3.7 a carry, and that's just really not going to help us win any Big Ten games. And the last time I checked, that's all we have left on our schedule. I'm still trying to figure out how the Big Ten is scheduling moving into the future. But I know with us, we have six Big Ten games remaining. The West Division is certainly still up for grabs. What we need to do is establish the run game, and probably just as concerning are our turnover numbers. And we sit at 11 turnovers on the year, two interceptions. And both of those interceptions, I'm sure the quarterback would like to have them back, but he's sitting at 15 touchdowns to two interceptions. So we're not quite as concerned about the interceptions, but 9 fumbles, 14 on the ground, 9 lost. That's a real bad number. And I've never been around a really good or championship level football team that's fumbled the ball at that rate. The good news is we got 6 games to clean it up. We certainly intend to.
When it comes to deep shots in the passing game, what's your definition of success? Is it X percent, completion percentage?
Sure.
Is it something else?
Yeah, the definition of success would be completing them. And it's like I mentioned with the football games. We don't dial up shots down the field expecting to throw incompletions. Now, you try to be realistic. You're not going to complete every ball that goes down the field. But I tell you what, we better start completing some of them because I really think that would help us offensively. But when you dial up those deep shots, the true shots, where you're sending the ball down the field no matter what, if you send one down the field once a quarter and you look at 4 a game, if you're hitting on 2 of those, I think you're really, really good. If you're hitting on 1, you're doing pretty well because those are the type of plays that change the game. But certainly we haven't been afraid to send it down the field, probably looking at more like 5 or 6 a game for us. And when we hit those, it really changes the complexion of things. And I think what that just comes down to is, again, it's the word that nobody wants to hear, but it's execution. And I think that falls on us as coaches, starting with me. I got to do a better job in practice, making sure we get those things repped, making sure we get them hit, giving those guys opportunities to make those plays so that when we get to the game field on Saturday, we feel like we're ready to do that and we can reasonably expect to be successful doing it.
We talked about you having called a play before. How has that evolved, do you think, as a play caller?
Oh. Yeah, you don't really dwell too much on the successes, and I'm not sure there's been that many. I know this. I feel a little bit better calling a play. When you go into the first game and you've never done it before, you wonder if anything you call is going to be successful. You might be the first play caller in history to not make a first down in 12 games. So, you have those kind of thoughts, and then once, I think it's kind of like being a player, you get in there a little bit and you make a couple calls and you have some good ones and some bad ones and some things work and don't work, and you start to feel a little bit more comfortable in your role. But I don't know that I've done anything particularly well. I know our players have done a really nice job of turning some average things into good things. But as a play caller, I just think about the bad calls. I think about calling a you know, a gimmick play down there backed up against Penn State that cost us 2 points, probably changed the complexion of the game. You know, I think about a couple fourth down calls you wish you had back, starting with the one last week. You know, we run the same play that we'd run on third and one a little bit earlier. They're loaded up for bear. We come back later, throw it on third and two, and, you know, hit it for 18 yards. That's all we had to do the first time. So I'm more focused on the things I haven't done well. You know, I don't think we had a good plan going into Michigan State running the football. You know, and then unfortunately our line's got to take the brunt of the criticism. You know, I think that starts with me. I didn't design it very well. We didn't have a good plan going in there. We didn't ask guys to do things, right, that were going to help us be successful. So whose fault's that? Well, that's mine. You know, and I got to live with that. And I know we talked before the season. I think I was pretty realistic about what the job was going to entail. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew there was going to be good moments. And there's no better moment than the one we had at Iowa State. That's as high as it gets, right? But there's no worse moment than some of the ones we had in East Lansing. That's as low as it gets. And that's how this job works.
Obviously, you know, to me, I look at where we're at statistically. Everybody has statistics. What happens? The only one I worry about is the wins and losses. That's one. But I do have some, you know, our third down is right around 67. We want to be 68. So I think that's good. The red zone, we kind of look at it different ways of how many times they actually get a possession in the red zone. And we figure the number's right around 4 points. If you're giving up 4 points per possession in there, I think that's good. I think we're at 4.3, not good enough. I think another place where we can really improve is not giving up explosive plays. And ironically, the explosive plays that we gave up, I think we gave up 4 explosives in the Iowa State, and we gave 5 up in the Illinois game, and we happened to win both of those. That's very uncharacteristic of the statistics in that part of it. And probably the most important stat to me is how many points you're giving up. And right now we're at 18.7, which, you know, compared to the last 4 years, I think that's right on the mark.
Phil Parker earlier today in Iowa City. Before that, you heard offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz. Coach's Cuts, a special bye week edition, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the solution to your missing piece of your IT puzzle. Give them a call. They're located in Marion, 247-7223. You can even check them out online at ncsei.com. We are going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, maybe we look, you got to take my mind. You, the listener, have to take my mind off of what's happening at Wrigley Field right now, even though, look, in the back of my head, I probably expected this today. It's a one-run game, and the wind is blowing in, and offense is at a premium, and I just, this is the fatalistic Cub fan of Game 7 World Series returning. This is what it's always been like to be a Cubs fan. We're going to talk about something that we discussed in hour number one, which I'm actually intrigued by, and that's why people only care about soccer when something cataclysmic like the U.S. missing the World Cup and losing to Trinidad and Tobago happens, and what, if anything, can be done to get people in this country to care more about soccer. And yes, I'm the one asking the question, and I admittedly don't necessarily care a whole lot about soccer, except when my buddy gives me free tickets to see the Chicago Fire, and I can go drink beer and see him in Chicago over the weekend. 537, join us in the conversation on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
There's a season for everything. And right now, it's save up to 30% on appliances season at the Home Depot with special buys on innovative appliances that do more. Like a GE high-efficiency washer and electric dryer. Your clothes get cleaner without the damage, and they're just $586 each. Save $425 on the pair. Savings are in season with up to 30% off appliances at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only, gas dryer extra, see store for details.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious, world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
The Cubs are getting shut out at Wrigley Field, and I have instantly reverted back to my former pessimistic Cubs fan self, which I thought I had buried dead or alive last year about, maybe around Mother's Day. Javier Baez hit that home run at Wrigley Field, and I said, they're going to do it this year, and then they're playing the Giants last year, and I said, my wife was going to bed, and I was like, what are you doing? You're going to miss the comeback. And they came back, and I have not felt this way in almost a year and a half. I just feel the sense of impending dread. And oh, by the way, yeah, I didn't predict them to beat the Nationals in this series, but then the series got underway, and things started out well. They took game one, they almost took game two, and I convinced myself, all right, Cubs-Dodgers, 3 years in a row, nationally championship series, and now it's hanging in the balance, because if the series shifts back to Washington, who knows, anything can happen. And if there's anything worse, I understand as a sports fan, if there's anything worse than you living and dying by your team and what they're doing, it's listening to somebody living or dying by their team when you don't care about them. So my apologies to anybody out there who doesn't give three rips about the Cubs. I'm dying here. And I'm dying on air for everybody to see. 319-366-1600. I should have said here. It is radio, after all. There will be no TV deals here as long as I have any say in things. No TV, no simulcast, nothing. The camera adds 10 pounds. And my doctor says I add 10 more pounds, I could be in serious trouble. 541, the subject swinging back to something that Alex brought up, and I knew it was going to come up today on the program, but hour number one, Alex mentioned the United States men's national team losing to Trinidad and Tobago last night. All they needed to do to secure a spot in the World Cup was manage a draw, and it didn't happen. And now everybody is freaking out. I've never seen people... Nobody was talking about it last night, and then all of a sudden they lose, and my timeline is just a tsunami of terrible soccer takes. And I'm like, what did I do to deserve this? And then you dig a little bit deeper, and you weren't, what, Trinidad and Tobago is the size of, what'd somebody say earlier today, Corpus Christi, Texas, or something like that?
Something like that, yes.
And you got Finland, right? They're in, and they're the size of... I don't know, pick a small New England state. And then you've got the United States, which is this behemoth. We got millions and millions and millions of people, and we can't find like 20 guys who are really great at soccer. I don't have the answer for it.
It's a systematic failure with soccer in the United States, and Tone has been on the text line, has been really active, and says that the whole system needs to be gutted and rebuilt. But the people I feel really bad for, and I fall in the category
Trinidad and Tobago.
No, I feel okay. Great for them,
because they're like Iowa State in this, in that I listened yesterday and somebody was like, man, Oklahoma, humiliating loss. And I was like, you got to give Iowa State credit. You got to give Trinidad and Tobago a little credit here, but I understand where you're going.
Soccer guy. The soccer people.
You feel bad for soccer guy.
I do, because
eating his salad and drinking his water eating at the bar so he can watch the games for free.
Drinking his water and really hoping that this stat that soccer is the fastest growing sport in America is going to take off and somehow produce results with the U.S. men's national team. And there were a lot, like you said, Todd, there were a lot of hot takes. The people that didn't like soccer on Twitter were making fun of the U.S. men's national team. The people who were kind of fringe soccer fans were angry. The people who were the big diehard soccer fans were devastated because they know, and Tone is bringing up Taylor Twellman, who had a rant on ESPN, which was very good. I actually caught this. And
so you're the person who still watches ESPN.
I still do. Alexi Lalas,
so do
also
millions of other people, by the way.
Also had somewhat of a rant. Landon Donovan, those type of people who really were hoping that this sport would take off in this country, and we're seeing so much progress. And for this to happen, I'm not saying that soccer is going to die in this country, but this was a huge wound opened up in this sport, in this country, to not make the World Cup, to not have everybody in this country, 90% of this country, at least fake like they are soccer fans for a week, is, oh, it could set the sport back a decade.
It's funny that you mention faking being a soccer fan, because a lot of people on the text line today have said that the one thing that they hate the most about soccer is the flopping, and everybody fakes getting injured. I don't necessarily know if that would be the backbreaker for me if I started to get into it. Here's my question, though, because, yeah, everybody says soccer, fastest growing, yada, yada, yada. I don't see that growth in soccer. It exists, I suppose, but I don't see it. They say nobody's playing baseball anymore. Football is starting to have less participation because people are talking about CTE and concussions and player safety. What sport are we going to be playing, or what sport am I going to be watching my kid play 15 or 16 years from now if every sport is in decline? I guess nobody says anything about basketball, right? Maybe it'll be basketball, although my poor kid, his genetics are not, well, he might have some height going for him, but that's about it. I've heard this for probably 20 years now. I'm 37 years old, 20 years at the least, that soccer is just, it's a dry bed of grass, and it's just waiting for somebody to drop a lit match, and boom, it's going to take off. When I was in high school, middle school, high school, they had the World Cup, right, in Chicago and different parts of the United States, and that didn't do anything for it. Brandi Chastain takes off her shirt in her sports bra, probably excited some teenage boys for women's soccer for maybe 20 seconds. That didn't necessarily get the sport to take off. And I think I'm not an expert on this, but you sort of have to be the opinion guy here. It's not that they suffered an embarrassing, terrible loss last night. It's that it's just the latest in a long line of events that is proving that the U.S. men's national team is headed in the wrong direction. This wasn't just you're out driving around and you took a wrong turn. This is about the fifth or sixth wrong turn, but it's the key one because it puts you in a really bad neighborhood. This, for the last, 3 years? How long has it been? The program itself is trending in a really, really downward direction. And I mentioned Pulisic. I can't even believe I'm saying it right, but I did watch the 60 Minutes segment. And I'll watch a guy or a woman in a sport if I'm not that interested in it, if they at least intrigue me. And I'm like, okay, I want to learn more about this kid. He seems fascinating to me. And to be 18, 19 years old and to have the future of the sport in your country sort of placed on your shoulders, I want to see how a guy responds to that. And now he's going to disappear for four and a half years. And I don't know what to say about that other than the fact that I think he's over in Germany somewhere and he's going to wind up playing for a a club somewhere that has a much higher profile, if what I've read is correct. But, you know, he's not going to be a member of the Chicago Fire or the Portland Timbers or whatever. Vancouver Timbers?
No, Timbers. You got it right.
Okay.
See, that's
Red Bull New York?
That's the biggest point here.
The Columbus Crew?
We have the three best...
Cedar Rapids Aroma.
The three best leagues for their particular sport in the world, in the United States. We obviously have the best football league because they don't play football
anywhere
else.
American football, yeah.
American Football League. We have the best baseball league. We even have the best hockey league in the world. Everybody from around the world that plays those three particular sports, and I'll mainly talk about baseball and hockey, come
Dude,
here.
NBA.
Excuse me, the NBA.
Yeah, throw the NBA in there, too.
Wow. Blanked on that one. People from around the world come here to play those sports. The MLS is such a step down. Some call it a joke. I wasn't going to go that far. But it is such a step down from the best leagues in the world that you have guys coming over at the end of their career, like Bastian Schweinsteiger, going to your Chicago Fire.
Number 31 in the program, number one in your hearts.
Number one in your hearts from Germany, a great player overseas for many years, comes here and just...
My buddy who works for the team, by the way, says he's awesome. A great human being. A really great guy.
And he was basically bashing the league, just talking about how...
He's here for a paycheck.
He's here for a paycheck and just talking about how awful the league is. And until that changes, how can you ask people to get excited about that sport when you really only see your good soccer, at least international level soccer, played a few times a year with the U.S. men's national team, who, oh, by the way, lost to Trinidad and Tobago.
It's better right now for me to be talking about this than the Cubs game at Wrigley Field, because it's still 1-0, and the final score is going to be 1-0. And now I'm sinking into the recesses of my negativity when it comes to my fandom for this team and game five and having to go back to Washington, D.C. And the Eagles song, Peaceful, Easy Feeling? I think I've got the opposite of that right now with the Cubs and the Nationals. And Steven Strasburg sure doesn't look sick to me. 319-366-1600. A lot of people suggesting that nothing short of a lingerie soccer league would get them interested in the sport. I'm just passing along what we see on the Hertin and Stocker text line. Tone, who I do appreciate the input here because clearly knows what he's talking about and the subject matter far more than I do, says that soccer is still on the rise in major cities. And look, when I graduated high school in 1998, I think there were two, maybe three kids in my entire school who were interested in playing high school soccer, and they had a co-op agreement with a larger school, a 4A school, so they could go to North Scott in Eldridge and play soccer. Now my little old 3A high school, my alma mater, has its own soccer program. So it is getting to the point where they also have a bowling team. We're obligated to mention that. It is KGYM, after all, your home for all things bowling talk related in Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio. So they're adding a couple of these sports, and soccer is one of them. But I think you're either interested in something or you're not. And it takes something huge to get somebody who's not interested in something to care about it. And I think that event for a lot of people who come around to soccer is the World Cup, because it's obviously the time when it gets the most coverage. And if the United States isn't there, you're probably not going to get pulled into it. Because, I mean, unless you're on Ancestry.com and you've got 30% Trinidad and Tobagian roots or something, you're not aligning with some foreign country.
I had no idea that USA was playing last night.
Not in this day and age. You know, it's USA all the way or get the hell out. So from that standpoint, and Fox is buried on this, hundreds of millions of dollars to the TV rights, and Team USA is nowhere to be found.
And they sell those rights?
Meanwhile, you've got the U.S. women's team that's saying, hey, we're actually kind of good. And why is it we can't get this type of attention for being good that the men's team gets for colossally crapping itself last night? It's a good question. I don't have the answer for it. 319-366-1600. 553, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We are lacking, I hate to say this, but where are your fantasy football questions for Tristan Cockcroft today? I've only got about four of them in front of me. 319-366-1600. The Fantasy Football Hall of Famer set to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. He needs to answer the questions for you so that you can set your lineup and win. That's how this works. Get them to us on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Get them to us early. They'll be the first questions asked. The number again, 366-1600. 6 o'clock showdown on the way as well. Hairball tickets for you tonight. Plenty more to come as the Todd Brommelkamp Show continues with Alex Kuhn until 7 o'clock tonight. Back with more after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Friday at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM and get ready for West High football action. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Thank you, 9278. Tom Brady and the shoulder. Can you trust Tom Brady this week against the Jets? Keep the questions coming. Tristan will answer them for you, courtesy of our friends at Imon Communications. 319-366-1600. Things continuing to move along at Wrigley Field, and we'll get you an update right now, as a matter of fact, on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board update brought to you by Kyle Mann and Midwest One Bank. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's likely to start at free safety, and sophomore Amani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke encouragingly about Manny Ragumba's recovery from his injury. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but he didn't sound particularly optimistic that he's going to return after the bye week as was initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Amani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was also named to the National Team of the Week after recording three tackles, two breakups, and a pick six. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the fourth time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar spot looking for a new team. Castle's got 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his fifth. Today on KGYM over on the FM frequencies, we've got the Cubs and Nationals right now. The Nats lead 1-0 in the eighth, and following that game, we'll bring you the deciding Game 5 of the AL Division Series between the Yankees and Indians. It's going to be CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber on 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The Red Sox are looking for a new manager. They fired John Farrell today, or not bringing him back, I should say, parting ways with him after an up-and-down run, and including a postseason appearance this year. Joe Girardi, no indications he's going to be out of a job in New York, but that could change if the Indians lose to if the Yankees lose to the Indians tonight. That's our poll question today, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins that deciding Game 5 to advance to face the Astros? Will it be Girardi's Yankees or Terry Francona's Indians? Tristan Cockcroft talks fantasy football with us next.
AutoZone presents Seeing Clearly.
Whether it's 6,000 miles, 6 months, or six kinds of harsh weather, Rain-X Quantum Wipers